The contents of this page have not been reviewed or endorsed by the Chicago Bulls. All opinions expressed by Sam Smith are solely his own and do not reflect the opinions of the Chicago Bulls or their basketball operations staff, parent company, partners, or sponsors. His sources are not known to the Bulls, and he has no special access to information beyond the access and privileges that go along with being an NBA-accredited member of the media.
This is Sam Smith, and welcome back to my podcast. You might have noticed, actually, I hope, that there was none last week. You know, we've been having pretty severe weather difficulties in the Midwest. Snow and cold, and obviously, you know, that can play havoc with technical equipment. Now, that, however, wasn't the case. Why my podcast wasn't available last week, it was because I forgot to do it. And I guess some would call those senior moments. What was it I was just talking about? Oh, yeah. Podcast last week. Didn't do it. If I had, probably would have talked about the upcoming Luol Deng game after the trade. Traded, went to Cleveland, Bulls win. Okay, we're done with that. No, actually, that was kind of a fun week. One of my rare visits to Cleveland. Not one of my favorite locales. Myself and Joe Kim Noah. Should Joe and I ever vacation together, we're still not going to Cleveland. But, you know, in some respects, as you know by now, the Bulls won that game. Deng didn't have a very good game. The Bulls did a good job concentrating on him a little more. And it was interesting to, to be in Cleveland and hear and read the local coverage. And it was good for Deng in a way. You know, he's always been unappreciated, underappreciated, whatever. I don't know about that. He's gotten paid well. He's been an all-star, so I wouldn't call it a lack of appreciation. But he's always the game because he's never been a beat your man off the dribble creator, a guy who needs to succeed within the team concept. And that really requires not only good teammates, but a good coach. Had one in Scott Skiles early on and really got off to a good start after some injuries early in his career. Took a step back with Vinny Del Negro, who just wasn't versatile enough to include as many options to get Lou involved. And then once Tom Thibodeau came in, that changed, obviously, to the extreme, really, as much as Deng played. So it was interesting to hear from media and fans in Cleveland about, you know, we finally got a veteran, we finally got a winner, and all that sort of stuff. All the things not said about Deng is a guy you can throw the ball to, but it's clearly not a great team, a little dysfunctional internally, one of the lesser coaches in the league as far as offense, probably one of the bottom five. And a coach, I think, Deng is going to have a lot of trouble adjusting to and enhancing his game with. So it's going to be interesting to see what he'll want to do, see what his market is after the summer, and even whether he gets back in conversation with the Bulls. You could tell as much as he's enjoying himself and sort of being in the spotlight there, he does miss being with the Bulls players and the environment that management and the coach created for him. So it's actually disappointing. I know I came up with a number of trade scenarios for Deng over the years, but as it is with even a relative, you're have mixed feelings about sort of miss him in the end. Although I don't actually feel that way about a lot of my relatives, but completely different story. Anyway, the news this week, the story this week is going to be the selections for the reserves for the All-Star team. The starters were pretty much not in doubt in the Eastern Conference. Wade and Irving, and Dwayne Wade's not an All-Star this year, clearly. Taking so much time off with injuries to rest. Even when he's played, he's only been a modest level player. Had a couple of good games. Wade and Irving, LeBron, Paul George and Carmelo coming off that 62-point game the other day. And a guy I mentioned in my Ask Sam last Friday, a guy I think it gets a little bit of a bad rap only because, and that's often the way it is with expectations. You know, when he came in, people forget it was supposed to be the next Bird in Magic. And Carmelo's just not that level of player. He always needed to be the second best player on his team, but in a sense was too talented for that according to teams. And so with the limited number of stars and guys being in position, he's always been in a position where he's got to be the number one guy. And he's just not that. He's the best individual, one of the best, certainly top three, with Durant individual scoring talents in the league. But, you know, one-dimensional in a lot of respects. Played his best, played, was just great, probably responsible for the gold medal more than anybody on that Olympic team, just because he could have LeBron and Kobe out front to do all the other things, and then he could just concentrate on the scoring. But I like the fan picks, Kobe and Curry in the West, Durant, Kevin Love, and Griffin. And Kobe already backed off because of his injuries. I wouldn't mind if he plays. I think the All-Star game is about seeing the stars of the game. Just because somebody's had a good season, one good season, and a fan pick, it's an exhibition. Fans want to see who they want to see. They want to see their stars and their favorites, and I think they should. So I have no problems with guys like Wade or even Kobe being on a team. But Kobe wanted to get off, and frankly, we're not even sure if he'll be back physically to play by the All-Star game, although the Lakers seem to think he will be from this latest injury of his. But so he'll give up his spot. So the interesting part is going to be the reserves pick. And from a Bulls standpoint, you would look at it and say, you know, how could Noah, with the run he's on last week after the Clipper game, matched Dennis Rodman for the longest streaks. Rodman did it in 97-98 for consecutive double-figure rebounding games. So the best run of his career, really. And the notion was, well, the Bulls, you know, they've moved up to around the 500 range. And then you get into that dispute, which has really gotten stupid on some level. A lot of it perpetrated on TV by the broadcasters about, well, you got to be on a winning team to be an all-star, which is nonsense, really. Like anything else, like the MVP vote, like all of these votes, like who's an all-star, you know, it's a blend of things. It's an eye test. It's a feel. You know, you see a star player, you know a star player. An MVP, for instance, that's why there is no rules about what it is. It's sort of a combination. And I've always looked at it as, I'm going to write this week in my NBA column on Monday, my midseason picks for the award positions, MVP and Rookie of the Year and Coach of the Year and all those things. And the reserve will be picked, by the way, Thursday on the TNT broadcast before the game. The seven reserves to be added. So it's sort of a combination of a blend. Like I said, with MVP, it's sort of the best player for the best team having the best season. And so it doesn't have to be the exact team with the best record, because we're talking about 2 and 3 wins that could happen because of, you know, a bounce, of a questionable call, a coach blows, you know, a play at the end. So there's a 2 or 3 swing in anything. So, an 18 and 22 team is the same as a 20 and 20 team. I mean, this notion of making a judgment of your cutoff is sort of ridiculous. And it would have kept great players. Oscar Robertson, you know, a lot of those years, Cincinnati, playing against all the great Celtics teams and Sixers teams with Wilt, had losing records. Oscar Robertson was MVP twice in the All-Star game in seasons his team was 500 or less. Michael Jordan would have missed 2 All-Star games. Wilt would have missed an All-Star. So some of the greatest players in the history of the game. And so it also begs the question about who's an All-Star. I think there's sort of unanimity about Roy Hibbert's going to be picked, the Pacers leading the East and all. And I'm okay. I go along with Roy Hibbert. That's fine. But he's not an All-Star. I mean, you go down, if you just get all the picks, all the players in the NBA, and you pick two teams of 12, you wouldn't pick Roy Hibbert. I understand the notion of his size and the defense, and he's certainly a valuable player. But it comes down to the definition of star. On that team, Paul George is unquestionably an all-star. And frankly, the second most valuable player on that team is David West. And then there's a lot of push for Lance Stephenson, and that would be ridiculous, although all the TNT guys, and that's an entertainment show with Kenny Smith and Barkley and those guys, Shaq, and they watch, NBA maybe once or twice a week. You can tell from a lot of their broadcasts, they don't know, what's going on in a lot of the league. And they're really, it's the best NBA show for years. And you've seen ESPN and everybody else trying to come out with combinations. I mean, you can't find another Barkley. And Kenny Smith's actually been very good. Not exactly Strowitz, but Shaq, I will admit, Shaq has gotten better. Last year, he didn't have answers to any questions, which was pretty amusing. But there's a lot of this notion in the media that Lance Stephenson, he's got a couple of triple doubles and all. That would be ridiculous. Lance Stephenson was one of all star. Was on the all star team. Like I said, like the other night when they were on the road trip and they're back to back, they went into Sacramento. Down the stretch, they're losing. They called every play down the stretch for David West when they were in trouble. He doesn't go out of his way to score a lot, but only when he has to. Stephenson didn't touch the ball a single time down the stretch. So he's this unanimous notion all-star. So, and I know the East is down, and Bosch will probably get on. Also another guy who's, probably has all-star abilities, but, it's not necessarily played like an all-star in the Miami system. It's a third wheel, but I can definitely justify him, given his skill, shooting skill. I mean, the guy, really hasn't rebounded, hasn't exerted himself a lot in a lot of occasions, but, probably given the way Miami's done and Wade's non-involvement this season. And there's a push for John Wall, who I think is probably deserving. He still plays a lot of control, but, it's finally, apparently somebody has gotten him a book about basketball, and he learned about passing and shooting and a couple of the other skills that he apparently didn't know about. And there's a push for DeRozan, because Toronto, quote, has done well, leading their division for whatever that's worth. But essentially the same record as Washington, the Bulls, a couple of teams, right around 500. So it shouldn't be a notion of, well, they're a winner, they're a division leader. You pick the guys who perform the best and the stars. I kind of like Millsap. I think Millsap's had a really good season. There was some mention of Joe Johnson. I don't know where that comes from at all. I know he's had a couple of good games lately when, Nets have played a little better, but he's having like his worst statistical season in the last 10 years. So, but I think Noah clearly, the notion is he's on the edge, could go either way. I think it'd be a shame. And all these guys don't talk about it. They talk about wins and all, and justifiably so. But I'm sure he'd love to make it. And the way he's played and, given the Bulls' circumstances with the season and the injury of DeRozan and the trade of Dang, and then get back into around 500 and remain in the playoff situation, have a nice run like they did with 9 out of 11 in that stretch before losing to the Clippers. And then clearly emerging as the leader and, the guy who on the boards, making big plays, leading all centers in the NBA in assists, up there in double-doubles. It's just a fabulous season. It'd be amazing for him to be overlooked. But you never know, because there's, like I said, this notion, and you hope the coaches don't adhere to it as much, of this line drawn. Well, if you're 21 and 20, you should be an all-star. But if you're, 19 and 21, you're not an all-star. And I don't think that'll be the case necessarily. So I do think Noah deserves it. I do think he will be added by the coaches, because they do like the way he plays. Coaches especially respect that. And the West is going to be, obviously, that's where you're going to hear a lot of the crying afterwards about guys undeserved. Most of the talk about is Aldridge about not being a starter. Yeah, I would have had him, you know, in there, and certainly he's probably a top five MVP candidate the way Portland has played. But Griffin has played terrific. He's really improved his game tremendously. They played great without Chris Paul. I probably have skipped over Kevin Love, and then that would have been the win-loss argument a little bit, that they remained under 500, even though he's put up huge stats. But he's clearly be added. And the interesting thing is going to be, you know, who'll be left off. There's really a lot of deserving guards, even though he's missed some games lately. Chris Paul will be on there. Be a question about Tony Parker. Will he get added? Or Duncan, because they'll want to put on somebody with the Spurs. Will he divide the vote? Dragic has played really well for the big surprise team of the season, the Suns. Mike Conley is really become a solid point guard in Memphis, with Marc Gasol coming back and move back into the playoff situation. Anthony Davis has been terrific. You know, Dirk, even though not what he was up there, some had mentioned James Harden is obviously will get on there, could even end up as a starter with Kobe having pulled out. Some mention of DeMarcus Cousins, who put up huge numbers, but there's no way the coach is going to put him on. He clearly not deserve great numbers, no question. It's almost embarrassing to watch the defense. He kind of runs back halfway half the time, dribbles up the court, pulls up for 20 footers, a completely out of control player, really undeserving for an all-star. And I think a lot of the coaches have looked at other players like that over the years. Monta Ellis, despite the numbers he was always putting up, never got picked to an all-star team. Not necessarily because he was so indifferent and combustible the way he played compared to Cousins, but just bad shots, sort of selfish play. And coaches less won't reward that. They don't look at the win-loss thing because they know how narrow that difference is, that you could be five games under versus five games over and not make much difference between a team. That's more media public thing about drawing the line. You know, you win a championship, you're a winner. You don't, you know, you lose in the finals, you're a loser. And the coaches don't buy that nonsense as well. And, Dwight Howard, who was up in the vote, he'll get in. Deservedly so, even though it is interesting how his, you know, I think the last 2 years has affected his, I hate to say that word, his brand. Anyway, his view more than anything about who he is, because he was always one of the biggest vote getters because of his popularity in the sense of still acting like an 8 or a 12-year-old most of the time. Anyway, so that'll be interesting to see, and that's probably the best vote of the season when they do the reserves, and because then the guys who get left off have go out. It's like when Aldrich wasn't selected to start, which didn't ever appear he would with the way the voting was going. He went out and had his career high. These guys profess a lack of interest in how those things happen, but you see guys always go out and have their career high scoring games, usually after they get snubbed. So anyway, that said, so the Bulls this week will be starting on their Western Conference, you know, their winter circus trip, as it were, long one, 12 days out. Start. So this one starts in San Antonio, which is a tough place to win, usually because of the earlier afternoon, the tours of the Alamo. Well, yeah, there's that too. I always love to go to the Alamo, but San Antonio is a tough place to win because they have a good team. They had a good team for like 20 years. And be good to see Bellinelli, who's really fit in well, has had a terrific season. I think he's I'm going to have him as one of the competitors for the Sixth Man of the Year award. I think even he's had more impact than Ginobili. But, you know, they've had guys out. Kawhi Leonard got hurt and Danny Green got hurt. So they're a little down. You never know who'll be resting there. But great system, great team, plays hard, good matchup game. Bulls then head into New Orleans where they had one of their two triple overtime games. Really terrific game other than the losing part of it, as Noah happened to mention afterwards. But Ryan Anderson's out. They've Drew Holiday out now. Evans has been out. They're just decimated by injuries. Anthony Davis has just been fabulous. Terrific to watch. Almost virtually automatic 20-10 game. I don't even know if they run any plays for him. But in a team in a tough situation with all the injuries. But, you know, still a team that's pulled out some games. And Eric Gordon has come on, played a little better scoring. So, you know, it gives him, you know, two scorers. You know, all of these Western Conference teams for the Bulls, as they saw with the Clippers, when you get in with athletes who are looking to score a lot, and that's necessarily not necessarily a San Antonio case, although they do score pretty well, those teams are all going to be difficult for the Bulls, whose offense has gotten better. Augustine has helped a tremendous amount, working with Noah, playing the pick and roll. And so the Bulls' offense is looked a lot better, of course, when you win, it does. Then they head into Sacramento, and for all I said about Cousins, he really can score and rebound, and is really a heck of a guy to play. I mean, plays out of control a lot, which does you a favor because he's out there shooting 18-footers and gets down in the post. He's really hard to guard, athletic. Some people remind me a little bit of Chris Webber in the sense early on in his career where Webber could do anything, you know, could run the break, pass off the break, post, shoot threes, amazing talent, but kind of a head case early in his career where always doing the wrong thing, saying the wrong thing, disrupting teams. Settled down, actually, when he got to Sacramento. But that was on his third stop. And I don't think the Kings now are going to get rid of Cousins because of his talent. But he does. He's another guy like that, strikes you like that, is going to need a couple of years and maybe another stop before he becomes more productive. But a tough game. Isaiah Thomas has developed into a little more in control, Nate Robinson kind of player, you know, mini guard who really can score difficulties off the pick and roll, pull up, tough guy, get in the lane. And so Kings have a lot of talent, and Bulls probably, as we know from the Dame trade, they get a Sacramento first if they can make the playoffs at some point. So I don't think it's this year, but so maybe the Bulls will try to win that game. And then probably before I get on again next week, toward the end of that trip, the Bulls be in Phoenix. And good for them, good for everybody. The weather there is expected to be not snow or cold. And the Suns with Jeff Hornacek, I would assume, even though there's a lot of sentiment for Terry Stotts with how Portland did, they were just an underachieving team last season, especially at the end. Hornacek's done, you know, a great job with that team. Management's done a great job with some of the moves they've made. And it really has been this amazing surprise. I mean, a team that hardly anybody, including myself, thought could win more than 25 games and remained in the playoff spot, winning tough games. And Dragic, even with the loss of Bledsoe, Dragic has played an all-star level. The resurrected Gerald Green had been given up on virtually everybody. Channing Frye's come back from heart surgery, of all things, and shot the ball really well, plays fast, opens a court, and even though the Bulls, had a good game, beat them in Chicago earlier this month, a much tougher team to play there. So, tough trip, six games over like 12 days, and then the Lakers. So I will catch up with you sometime next week, if I remember both where the team is and when's the time for me to do this. So anybody wants to send me a message about that, a reminder will always help. All right. Bye.